What does Ezekiel chapter 13 verse 4 say? Let us turn there if we can. Ezekiel chapter 13 verse 4. Well, if you want, you can read it there. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord has not sent them. They have seen vanity and lying divination. Yeah? Their eyes are covered in all these vain things, earthly things. And also, they are involved in lying divination. Wow. Divination. You know what that is? Searching the spirits, searching the stars for answers. Yeah? Saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord has not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Verse 7. Have you not seen a vain vision? Have ye not spoken a lying divination? Whereas ye say, the Lord says it, albeit I have not spoken, and yet I have not spoken. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because ye have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God, and mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord God. Because they have seduced my people, saying peace, and there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. He's basically talking about false prophets. Go back and read that. Go back and read that scripture. And let God speak to your heart. See what he's saying there. But this is basically an example of the Old Testament talking about these false prophets. They're like foxes in the desert. Verse 16 of Matthew 7. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Thistles. Do you know what thistles are? I don't know. I had a picture there. I don't know if Douglas got it. My flash. There's a picture. Anyway, a thistle is basically a bush that grows about this high, very green, and its leaves have like pointy ends that have thorns. Have you seen those? Yeah? And then they have these very lovely purple flowers. That's what thistles are. But they are basically weeds. Yeah? And God is saying, do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Basically weeds. Verse 17. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. 18. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Fruits are the best indicator of what type of a tree is. You look at this gigantic fruit hanging up there. It's green. It has got all these protruding, they look like pimples. And you know that is fennel. You don't look at a fennel tree and you think that is an apple tree. Right? It's impossible. Yeah? You know, this is a fennel. Produces this lovely tasting pods in there. Yeah? There is no way you can mistake a fennel for something else. Unless maybe when you're seeing it for your first time. Yeah? But you will know eventually. You will know them by their fruits. In false teachers, fruits represent their doctrines and their deeds. Are their doctrines bearing fruit? Are their deeds bearing fruit? Look at them, these teachers that are promising miracles and wonders, are promising heaven on earth, that are promising prosperity, that are promising all sorts of superficial things. Look at them. Study them carefully. Yeah? See, what are they producing? What is the nature of their doctrine? Jesus was saying, you will be able to recognize these false prophets by their fruits, their teachings, essentially, and their actions. And sometimes it's not easy. Many times it's not easy. Because these guys can masquerade for a very, very, very long time. They hide 6 years, 10 years, and suddenly their true colors come out. Prophets true to God's word produce righteous conduct. But false prophets who disregard God's word produce unrighteous conduct. A false prophet can only produce bad works, even though his works may appear good, superficially or temporary, like I say, temporarily. The end of every tree that does not bear good fruit is the fire, seen in verse 19. Likewise, the false prophet who does bad works, even though they look good, suffers destruction and judgment. The words and works of a prophet eventually reveal his true character, just as surely as the fruit of a tree reveals its identity, as seen in verse 20. Typically, a false prophet rejects God's words because he is an unbeliever. However, even in the Old Testament, there were a few true prophets who lied about God's word. Most times, a false prophet is a person who rejects God's word. That's a bit refreshing. He's a man of the people, representative, TV talk show host, but feeding people lots of lies. They are in that category of people who reject God's word. They are unbelievers. But then there are also those ones who are believers, but they lie. They lie. A good example is in 1 Kings chapter 13 from verse 1. 1 Kings. Are you there, Douglas? 1 Kings. And behold, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burning incense. All right, there's an obstruction on the screen here. Let me read from here. Then he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, "Oh, altar, altar, thus saith the Lord. Behold, a child, Josiah by the name, shall be born to the house of David, and on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burned on you." And he gave a sign the same day, saying, "This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Surely the altar shall split apart, and the ashes on it shall be poured out." So it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, who cried out against the altar in Bethel, that he stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, "Arrest him!" Then his hand, which he stretched out towards him, withered, so that he could not pull it back to himself. The altar also was split apart, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Then the king answered and said to the man of God, "Please entreat the favor of the Lord your God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored to me." So the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him, and became as before. Then the king said to the man of God, "Come home with me and refresh yourself, and I'll give you a reward." Now we are coming to the gist of all this reading that we are going through. I just wanted to give you a background. But the man of God said to the king, "If you were to give me half your house, I would not go in with you, nor would I eat bread, nor drink water in this place. For so it was commanded me that by the word of the Lord, saying, 'You shall not eat bread, nor drink no water, nor return by the same way you came.' So he went another way and did not return by the way he came to Bethel. Now an old prophet dwelt in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. They also told their father the words which he had spoken to the king. And their father said to them, 'Which way did he go?' For his sons had seen which way the man of God went who came from Judah. Then he said to his sons, 'Saddle the donkey for me.' So they saddled the donkey for him, and he rode on it, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak tree. Then he said to him, 'Are you the man of God who came from Judah?' And he said, 'I am.' Then he said to him, 'Come home with me and eat bread.' And he said, 'I cannot return with you, nor go in with you, neither can I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. For I have been told by the word of the Lord, you shall not eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by going the way you came. He said to him, I too am a prophet as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. He was lying, basically, to him. So he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. Now it happened as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. And he cried out to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, thus says the Lord, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord and have not kept the commandment which the Lord your God commanded you, but you came back, ate bread and drank water in the place of which the Lord said to you, eat no bread and drink no water. Your corpse shall not come to the tomb of your fathers. So it was after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk that he saddled the donkey for him and the prophet whom he had brought back. When he was gone, a lion met him on the road and killed him. And his corpse was thrown out on the road. The donkey stood by it. The lion also stood by the corpse. And there, men passed by and saw the corpse thrown onto the road and the lion standing by the corpse. Then they went and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. Now when the prophet who had brought him back from the way heard it, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient to the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord has delivered him to the lion, which has torn him and killed him, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke to him. And he spoke to his son, saying, saddle the donkeys for me. So they saddled it. Then he went and found his corpse thrown onto the road, and the donkey and the lion standing by the corpse. The lion had not eaten the corpse, nor torn the donkey. And the prophet took up the corpse of the man of God, laid it on the donkey, and brought it back. So the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. Then he laid the corpse in his own tomb, and they mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother. So it was after he had buried him that he spoke to his son, saying, when I am dead, then bury me in the tomb where the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the saying which he cried out by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against all the shrines on the high places which are in the cities of Samaria will surely come to pass. What a sad story. Yeah? Really, 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 really sad. And it's funny that they kept on calling him the man of God. He was a man of God. Did he die and go to heaven? I believe he did. I believe with all my heart he did. But because he was a man of God who had received clear instructions from God, yeah, there's no thinking, oh, maybe God said this or that. God clearly spoke to him. I don't know whether it was face to face or not, but God clearly instructed him and he knew his instructions. This man was a man of power. He had backing from the Spirit of God. The king pointed just one finger at him and what happened? His hand withered, you know. He was a powerful man. This came with great responsibility. The title of him being a prophet, the title of him being called a man of God, came with great responsibility and it also came with great consequences. It just shows us that by the time they start calling you a man of God or a woman of God, do not take it lightly. Because when God gives you instructions, you must follow them to the dot. And this man responded well to the king, saying, no. But because the old man came to him and said, yeah, I'm also a prophet like you. And indeed he was a prophet, because the Bible says an old prophet came to him. And he said, I heard from angels telling me you should come. And he did not bother to say, you know what, let me first seek what the Lord is saying. Let me first go back to God and ask him if whatever you're saying is true. But because this man said, I'm also a prophet, and I listen to angels and all that, no discernment, nothing. Yeah? He just went with this man. And what a tragedy. Yeah? He drank, he ate, he saddled his donkey. The Bible almost makes it seem like, you know, he wasn't bothered, but I imagine he was just quaking. He was worried. He was thinking, what have I done? He may have repented. I'm sure he did. He was a man of God. But there are still grave consequences that followed him. A lion came specifically for him and tore him to pieces. Did not even touch the donkey that was sitting there. The lion did not even eat him. Ordinarily, a lion will tear you to pieces and eat you. But it was sent specifically for this purpose. Yeah? And indeed, as the Lord had told him, he was not buried in the tomb of his fathers. And that was such a terrible thing for a man of Judah. A Jew. It was such a disgrace. It was such a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. Yeah? What am I saying essentially? I'm saying, let us ask God for the spirit of discernment to know all these guys who will come and deceive us and lead us into that wide road with its wide gates. But that only leads to destruction. It may be destruction here on earth. It may be eternal destruction. Who knows? But we have to beware. We have to look out for their fruit. What kind of trees are they? What fruits are they bearing? Are they good fruits? Do they taste good? Are they bad fruits? And when we embrace this ministry of teaching, when we embrace the ministry of prophecy, I believe some of us here have that gift of prophecy, and some may be called into that office, whatever it entails, that office of prophecy, whatever office it is, we must be sensitive. We must know that people are looking at us. They are watching our actions. They are listening to our words. Therefore, they are easily susceptible to our bad ways. It is very easy for us to mislead people as teachers, as prophets, whatever God has called us to do. So we must not take these offices lightly. We must hold them with high esteem. If God tells you to do something, do it to the dot. Let there be no disobedience. Let there be no doubt. Let there be no, let me first go and make money, and then I'll come back. Let me first go and get married, and then I'll come back. Let me first travel abroad and do cheyo, then I'll come back. There's a time for everything. Hallelujah. A friend of mine wrote something here that really touched my heart. I saw it on Facebook, and I was hoping that all of us eventually would have this kind of heart. He was basically displeased with the way things were going. This is what he said. He said, there is evidently something wrong with the Bride of Christ in Uganda. Essentially the church. Yeah? The men in whose custody the groom, Jesus, left his bride have mistreated her, raped and abused her, prostituting her for financial gain. They have turned her eyes away from her groom and have led her onto a course full of self-gratification and pursuit of worldly pleasures. These charlatans, these liars, these tricksters, these charlatans are utterly foolish. They forget what the scriptures say. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. That is in James chapter 4, verse 4. Yeah? So he goes on to say, that is what this lot is. Enemies of the same God they claim to preach. You foolish people, he continues to say. Hear what the Lord says to you. Do you not know the judgment coming upon you? That even as you mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of the flesh, this is in 2 Peter 2:18. Yeah? Let me read that again. Do you not know the judgment coming upon you, that even as you mouth empty boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of the flesh, the blackest darkness is prepared for you? That's in 2 Peter 2:17. You are dragging God's perfect and holy name in the mud. You think somehow you shall be spared. An illusion of having time, or an illusion of grace and mercy that is, you know, ultimate, never ending. You are defiling his bride and think you somehow will escape his judgment. Woe unto you! Hear what the Lord says, you liars, thieves, and disgraceful beings. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and are again entangled in it, and are overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then turned their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them, the Proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit. That's in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20-22. He goes on to say, repent of your lies, foolishness, wickedness, and fraudulent gimmicks. You can play with anything, but do not play with God's elect. This body you deceive and use to line your pockets with gold in a body that was purchased by the blood of Jesus. If you do not turn from your ways, you will not believe what is coming to you. The wrath of God, this God whose name you shamelessly blaspheme, is upon your heads. Turn away now if you know what is good for you. Deny yourselves. Take up your cross and follow the Lord. Otherwise, you are as good as finished. And although you, Lord, make me utterly and nauseous and sick to the core, I love you and pray for you. I pray for your repentance. It is hard, and sometimes I wish you could all just disappear. But who am I? God calls us to love and to pray for our enemies. You are the enemies of the church. And if not anything, I will love and pray because I have been commanded to by the Lord Jesus. My feelings do not matter. My obedience is the only thing that counts. And to the bride of the most holy God, my heart breaks for you. Wake up! Read and study your Bibles. Deny yourselves. Carry your crosses. Follow the Lord. The Christian life is not about how many cars or houses you have, or how big your house is, or how much money you may have in the bank. No! Follow the Lord and leave these kleptomaniacs claiming to know God. Get into good Bible teaching churches and grow in the Word. Let us listen to what Jesus says in His Word. Let us be aware. And also, listen to what my friend here said. I believe truly he was touched by the Spirit of God to say these words. You know, let us hold on to these words. Let us pay attention. Above all, let us read the Word of God. Let us not follow these superficial things. Let us follow the narrow road. Let us enter by the narrow gate. It is a gate. It is a road that leads to a lot of persecution and hard time. I will not tell you lies. There will be a lot of persecution. There will be a lot of suffering for His name's sake. But ultimately, we shall receive a great reward in eternity. Hallelujah. Let us stand. We pray, O God, that You will give us discernment to see all these lies and to know all these charlatans, O God, and not to follow them, O God. Above all, Lord, let us be contented with life, with all that You have given us and all that You have not given us, O God. Let us trust, O God, that You, in due time, according to Your will, O God, will give us all that we need, O God, that we shall not lack in any way, but that we shall trust You always. We shall see Your goodness in our lives, and that we shall trust in You always. As we walk this narrow road, O God, give us the strength. God, may Your grace abound. Let us persevere. Let us run this race with all diligence. And let us look to You as the author and finisher of our lives. We know that day You will say, well done, my good, faithful servant. Oh, how we long for those words. Be with us through this week, the rest of it. Guide us through all our endeavors, through all our dealings, O God. May we seek to bring glory, and honor, and praise to Your name. Be with us as we travel back home. Guide us and keep us in Thy ways, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.